The coach of Fremantle, until last night, an unbeaten coach for the year, Ross Lyon, joins us. Ross, thanks for your time.
No problems, Anthony.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling going into the game last night? I guess particularly coming off last Saturday night, which was a pretty tough game in pretty torrid conditions over there in Adelaide. Were you a little edgy at all, or were you thinking, you know, you were going to be able to keep your form going?
No, we had an expectation to keep it going. You're never quite sure. I mean, you almost, once you do all your preparation, but we had a really thorough week on the preparation. Both teams come off 6-day break. They had to fly over. So, we really went out there to win the game last night, but we couldn't go with them early. And they just scored really easily, and we didn't score. So, but in the second half, I thought we turned it around a bit. I thought we were right in and had an opportunity, but we just, even after half-time, didn't take some simple opportunities and early in the last. So I thought they closed it out well. We're disappointed in our performance, but all credit to Richmond.
What were the main conversations in the box in that first quarter?
Oh, the main conversation? It was just how easy they were scoring. We just really thought it was going in. We're dominating out of the middle. I think even for the night, I think we had 16 clearances to three, but I mean, they weren't all quality. I sort of get that. But it sort of went into our front half and sort of bounced out pretty quick, which is what Richmond are very good at and what we spoke about going in. And then, we knew they'd bring McFarlane up and, do some of the things they did. So it was nothing really unexpected. They've had a strong signature of how they're playing. But, they did it very well. I think when you have 8 entries, you kick 8 goals, you're going okay. And we're not going that well defensively.
Ross, Dermot here, morning. Hey, apart from the centre circle, when the ball moved away from the centre circle, in between the 50-metre arcs, I thought the game was played in too much space, allowing Richmond a little bit of too much space when it became a one-on-one or a two-on-two. It just didn't look like the Dockers had their usual numbers at the footy once the ball moved away from that centre circle.
Yeah, it's a good observation. They're clearly beating us on the spread. And then when they had the ball, they retained it quite easily. So uncontested marks and kicks are a real feature of time and space, a real indicator. So they're having lots of kicks and uncontested marks. So we spoke about that half time. And then, I mean, the same game plan they were implementing up to half time after half time was a different look from us in our intensity in getting the ball back. So although we couldn't deal with what they were throwing at us at our best, but we turned it around in that third quarter. But in the first half, I thought their run, I thought their midfield was super. I thought Martin really, I think he had 11 in the first and kicked one, and Cochin, and their wingers were going well, and Edwards. So they were really up and about, and we were struggling to go with them. And look, my group's been very good for, obviously, there's still 7 and other teams would love to be 9-1. We're disappointed that we didn't win the game, obviously, and it was Friday night. Everyone talks about the big stage, and we'd like to have more of them, so we're disappointed with that. Johnson going down sort of unbalanced a little bit, but we found a bit about Tabata and Clark going back, so that was good, and we really got to press on pretty quickly to the Gold Coast and make sure we put on a better performance.
Just on that one with Michael Johnson, they were always going to keep 3 tall forwards. Now, Vickery is 200 centimetres. We don't quite play like a 200 centimetres, but the fact he's that body size, it was important. Well, it's important they kept their shape up forward, and it hurt you that you didn't have a Johnson to stand shoulder to shoulder to at least one of Vickery or Griffith.
Yeah, but in fairness, Griffith had already kicked one on Johnson, so... Look, it wasn't ideal, but we knew their height coming in. And we've been happy all year to have Ibbotson as the third tall, as long as the pressure up the field's okay. So, all credit to them. I don't think you can take any... It's not... were we at our very best? No, but certainly we come back and challenge them, and they could have easily crumbled, but they held on. So, I'm loath to sort of think that we were down and they were up. The reality is... We haven't used that language all year, and I don't see a reason to start using it now.
Yep.
Ross, the clearance game really gave you an opportunity late, didn't it? Some of those clearances were really powerful, and to get back within, I think it was roughly 20 points with about 6 or 7 minutes to go, did sort of leave a lot of positives in your mind, I'd assume, as a coach, saying we haven't played anywhere near our best. And some key components of your game plan. I was staggered by Matthew Pavlich's night last night. I haven't seen him play like that ever, I don't think. He just had one of those nights, didn't he?
Yeah, look, he's human. He probably had a couple of opportunities. I thought our composure, when we got the 20 points, you know, Valentine really jumped into Walter's head in the goal square. It was, and someone blazed away when we could have passed it in. So that would have just closed that gap a little bit. But look, Pav's been a super player for a long time, but he's not going to be there forever. And we need to, which we have done, perform when he hasn't been his very, very best. So he's been a little bit sore. But gee whiz, their defenders, they're one-on-one. I was just thinking about them this morning. Like, they're really strong and quite powerful. I thought, you know, Rance is super, obviously. Grimes and Chaplin have been good, and then Boston down there, and Hooley gives them their run. So I think credit to their back six. I thought they beat our forwards fair and square.
Does the loss change anything? Does it change the long game at all? I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, you're a couple of games clear top of the ladder, you're going to get the ability to rest players and maybe not travel them as much later in the season. Does this change anything at all?
No, look, we'll really assess. The real difficulty, the only headaches we've got is our tall defenders, to be truthful. So Alex Silvani had the big hammy that he had to have operated on. Dawson just got back from some groin soreness and he broke his thumb last week. And then Johnson goes down. So we'll be stretched. Alex Pierce will be available. So that's our one area where we're a little bit thin. But we're just going to have to work our way through that. And look, if we get to a really good position, we could have pushed Lee Spur in last night. Like, he could have played with pain control, but we didn't see the point. Crozier comes in. We've got Mazungo, DeBoer, and a couple others down below that are good enough, and they'll get their opportunities.
Yeah, it's a funny night, Ross, because the expectations on Fremantle are huge. They're great, and people like watching them play. And as the game went on last night, and they kicked one, two, three, four, five, six, you got one back, and out it goes again. And they were kicking goals against you that don't normally happen. And one to me made me think, Ross is going to kill this bloke. The ball came into the square, into the Richmond square, and Duffield was on Titch Edwards. And Duffield watched the ball hit the pad and didn't move. And Edwards ran around the second quarter, and Edwards ran around the back and dived and got his foot to the ball. And Duffield was just standing there looking at it, and I thought, Ross, he's going to kill him at half.
Was that in the goal square?
In the goal square.
I thought it was the last quarter.
I think it was late, yeah.
Oh, was it late, sorry?
It was halfway through the last.
Anyway, do you know?
I think that's an indicator. I think it was 12 minutes ago. We're 20 points, and I think Martin was outside.
That was right, sorry.
But our ruck in possession, he came off the fence. He should have come from an angle and got it through. And there was no one, really, the run back to the fly to outnumber. You shouldn't be outnumbered on your goal line, so... that was probably an indicator of we talk about above the shoulders. So if you're not, you don't have to be off much. Whatever the percentage was mentally and desire, there's too many really good teams, and desire levels can separate you at this level. So your desire and effort at the upper echelons of the league and really throughout the league tend to separate you. And we're a really strong group. We've been able to maintain them at a really high level. But you're trying to minimise your best and worst, and obviously we didn't, you know, that minimisation didn't occur. And look, I wasn't at my best. There was a bit about that we roll them back, and we just spoke in the box. Well, you know, we can roll them back. Well, let's see who's doing what and dig in and not prop them up. So we wanted to find a bit about ourselves. We rolled Stephen Hill back late in the first, I think, and turned it around a little bit. But we really, if you critique me and my coaching group, we could have done that earlier, but we did talk about it, and I wasn't that interested. I had faith in the group to sort of see what the leadership was like and steady the ship, but that didn't happen.
No, I'm not too keen to critique, Ross, I'll be honest with you.
No, I think it's fantastic that you say that, because one question that's very rarely, if ever, asked, Ross, is how did you think you coached?
Yeah.
Last night, because we everyone assesses players. You guys probably more critical than anyone. And so, did you think you had a poor night in the box?
I wouldn't say poor. I thought we saw some of the things I was doing. But look, I'm my harshest critic. I mean, it starts with me. Before I go to my assistants or my players, I'll start with myself. And And, you know, that's something we could have done, rolled them back. But, you know, we did speak about not doing it, but it all happened so quickly. I mean, it was really... I think they had 3 goals off 18 possessions. Well, that's pretty quick. That's a strike rate of 6. You're talking Dennis Parkinson, North Melbourne. I think they have a strike rate of 20 and it was world record pace. So they had a strike rate disposals to goals of 6.
You did look stunned in the box, quick, mate, Ross. Yeah.
Dennis has delisted players after that, Ross.
So, look, yeah, they were, you know, they sort of made our smalls defend. You know, they brought up Rewild, trying to bring McFarlane up. We knew that was going to occur. You know, we knew there'd be third ups. We knew they'd bounce out of the back half. We knew Martin, Cochin and Delito could hang us. You know, so you go in eyes wide open. I don't think anything occurred that we didn't know was going to occur, but they executed really well.
What didn't occur for you?
We didn't win the ball very well.
No, you didn't. But Daniel Pearce, who's been such a crucial player for you this year, he virtually had no impact on the game. So as Martin was continuing a reasonable game and Cochin was playing a pretty solid game and Edwards was going in and Brandon Ellis was getting a bit of the pill, it was left to too few in your midfield, I thought. And you just couldn't get that run from Hill until late. And Pearce just couldn't get into the game. And those two left footers have been pretty crucial for you this year.
Yeah, they've been outstanding. They didn't have their best night. I thought the only mids really going were Fife and Neil, really, I think. But we didn't spread the ball back well. They tackled really strongly. When you see them play like last night, you think, gee whiz, you think they'd have more wins on the board. But they obviously had some challenges with injury. They're a very good team. You know, I think, you know, I knew it was going to be tough, and they're playing some pretty good footy. And, you know, so they should get some real momentum from here. So it was good to get a look at them. But at the end of the day, we're going to move on pretty quick. We add up our wins and losses at the end of the year and try and get a really good position. So that's what we're about.
So, Ross, we spoke to you before the game and you said we know how they're going to play, what they're going to try and do. You knew they were going to try and use the ball to advantage slowly. They're going to be exact out of their back line. You knew they were going to want the short lead-up target. You knew that was going to happen. You would have told your players, you'd have drilled your players that they're going to honour the lead, and they didn't chase them out hard enough on the lead. So what do you say to your players?
What do I say to them on Tuesday?
No, what did you say to them at quarter time?
I just said, look, the facts, you just use the facts. This is, you know, we're not getting it back off them. You need to tighten up, and our defenders, you need to tighten up. So... And there was just some issues on organisation, just stay organised. But not, I think we just put, they had 36 entries for the night, which is really...
21 at half-time.
Yeah, 15 after half-time. So normally when teams go slow and wide, and they control the ball, but you don't score against us. So I'm not overly concerned about the slow and the wide and the short. That doesn't... Because sometimes possession without penetration doesn't really worry you, but they just sort of were able to work it quite... Well, and even 21 entries isn't a lot, but, you know, they just scored really efficiently. And I'll just put in the context. They took 9 marks in their forward 50 in the first quarter, and that's what we average against for the last 3 years for a whole game. So it probably puts into context how good they were and that we struggled to sort of do what we do.
I think Stephen Hill could become one of the game's great halfback flankers, Ross, if he played there. I know we've talked about this before, but you've been able to move him there in-game. You did it again last night. Will it be something you look at now, maybe with a bit more of a permanent sort of vision?
Yeah. Well, I think it's so hard because our back six, we get a bit of bounce from Sutcliffe, Spur, Ibbotson, Clancy, Pearce. You know, Thomas Sheridan's going through there. But we aren't the quickest team. So Pearce and Hill, their pace for the midfield is really quite critical to us because Mundy and Fife are big guys and Barlow. So... it's hard to take that pace out of the midfield on a consistent basis, but I think rolling him through there helps him and us.
Ross, off the game for a second, I just want to get some wider views, if I can, on the game. Do you take...
I'm loath to do policy on the run. Yeah,
you will, though. the change in interpretation... of the head down and the driving of the head. Do you think that's a really important thing for the game, or would you
it
say
is, yeah.
we've got to
I
roll along?
I clearly like the shift. I've been concerned. And I'm more along the Alistair Clarkson and John Longmire. If you charge him with your head down and you're almost a free against, because in our day, you're too scared to do it. But, you know, put your head down and charge forward. You know, we're always taught as kids to turn and protect and cover your ribs and get your head tucked in. But how the modern day players been encouraged to do it because of the rules and interpretations has been a real concern. And I think the adjustment made during the week is the shrug, that improve your tackling so the Joel Sal would shrug and a bit of the drop, get low. But when they're sort of bending over like an emu and then running at you, and you know, I think that's got to be umpired out of the game. So I think it's been a good move.
What about when Subin did it for you guys and ran into, I think...
Well, he didn't even have the ball. He was tackling.
What was that?
Brain explosion. I don't think he knows.
I've never seen anything like that in football, actually.
Who coached him to do that, Ross? Name names.
Yeah, I'm not very accountable over the Dockers. People just do things. I don't know who does what, really.
Just another wider one from me. Peter Bell was the first Docker put into the Australian Football League Hall of Fame on Thursday. Were you over?
No, it was Thursday night. We had the game Friday, so no, I just watched it on TV.
What does that mean for the club? I know. I mean, you were heavily invested in the club, and I don't think you coach. You didn't coach Peter. You wouldn't even play against him, did you, or not?
No, we all remember him. He was a very good player. Yeah.
But what's it mean for the Dockers to have a person in the Hall of Fame?
What does it mean? I think you... Well, it's not something I thought about, but it's a great honour. Obviously, it's hard to do, and he's in a, you know, esteemed company. But you've got to build the, you know, great players and great teams. So it's got to start somewhere. I couldn't comprehend an expansion team and the challenges, and particularly with the disadvantage that the Dockers did. So, he's someone to be followed, and you know, there's got to be a first for everything. So it's good to build, you know, a tapestry of great players and great teams. And there's a few great players, but they go hand in hand, don't they? Hawthorn, great teams, great players. So you need a bit of both. They go, what comes before the other?
Did that accidental forearm of yours ever catch Tony Lockett, who was made a legend of the Hall of Fame?
I picked my mark. Anyway, place like King and Dermot.
You wouldn't have got one back from me either, I can tell you. Have you ever had a player drink the night before a game, Ross?
Well, probably. I don't know of it. you know, it's unique, isn't it? What's going on up? Not going on up there. I think a young group of men, expansion team. I don't know, King. Have you? I remember Brad Boyd used to have a couple. Couple of brown ones to help him sleep the night before. But I think it's sort of progressed beyond that. I think if you need that to sleep, I think there's some other techniques and strategies that you can employ rather than reach for alcohol the night before the game. That's all I'd say. There's probably other opportunities.
Is that a major difficulty for teams that have to travel every second week? I think that when you're at home every week pre-game, you're pretty right. But travelling must bring those sorts of issues to the forefront.
Lou, that's a really good question. I think because we do it so often, we go two days out because the first night's sleep is quite, the 2 hours, and particularly when it's 3 hours, is difficult. So you're always a bit scratchy and doughy the next day. But you tend to sort of get in a rhythm and get to sleep. We have strict protocols, make sure they get up even though they're tired and get them moving. So if you get your routines, and they're young players, aren't they? They're still learning their craft. So I think you get some systems and protocols, and it helps you work your way through those challenges.
There's a key forward up there coming out of contract at the end of the year. Ross, I don't know if you know that. Charlie Dixon.
Yeah, I heard the rumours about that.
I actually wrote a story about it the other day and put your football club in the story, actually.
Heard the rumours.
Well, everyone, any player manager's got a player out of contract and they want to bust up, just link them to us.
But there's some good wines down Mark Riverway, isn't there?
Well, that'll be part of the sell.
Mosswood, beautiful, Cap says.
We saw Pav last night and it was really interesting, and I heard you after the game. I've heard you again today. Pav's played, you know, 300 games. He's probably played 250 rippers, and he has a really, really poor one. And I think you said he's got enough credits in the back. But at some stage, and it may be this year, Pav's going, and you're grooming Tabana, but you're still looking out for that key forward. Would you know, or would you be interested in going after Charlie Dixon?
to be true, I've never looked or reviewed. His name's never been put in front of me. He's never been put in front of our list management committee. So that's as it sits today. He certainly hasn't been on our list management radar.
We didn't critique Ross, but he's just critiqued Robbo.
You've got no idea how glum his face is here, Rossy.
So
you've upset him, Ross.
No, you haven't upset me. Just that,
unless you know more than me.
Well, I might. I might on this occasion, Ross.
Ross, yeah.
Well, you might.
Before we let you go.
Our list management committee's lying to me. So if that was the case, I don't think I'm long for the doctors.
Ross, Johnny Barker, we're about to watch him coach for the second time this afternoon. You had him as an assistant under you at St Kilda. Has he been in contact with you since taking the senior job?
I did speak to him just through Stephen Silvani. Soss and I talk a fair bit with a couple of other mates, and they were just having a coffee. So I just said, put him on. I just wanted to say good day. So, look, he's very affable. You know, he's worked at St Kilda and Hawthorn, and really difficult challenge. That whole situation was really difficult. Did they shift around much last week post-Mick? My view is they didn't, really. So, but Johnny gets an opportunity, but albeit a really tough one. And, he's a genuine guy, and he'll try and guide them through a difficult situation.
Ross, we thank you for your time, as always. Always expansive on what's going on over there.
Yeah,
and we appreciate your time again.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Ross Lyon, coach of Fremantle, fronting up after their loss last night against the Tigers.